been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to this week's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, 21 years in the business as a professional fee-based money manager for folks all across America. And you can find more information on the services that we offer at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We have a nationwide presence. I'm on many show or many radio stations across America. And we run a virtual office, which I started doing way before COVID. You know, instead of having boots on the ground in several cities across America, it's just much more efficient for us to run our operation from a virtual type of a setting. And those 21 years in the business, I would not trade for anything. And hopefully today I can impart some wisdom and some observations of what is going on in the market right now. You know, it's gone from 660, that's the S&P 500, it's gone from 660 back in 2009 at the bottom of the financial crisis to today around 4,500, from 660 to 4,500. Have you participated in that? What has made the market go up along the way? But the big question now is, can it continue to go up? Is there any merit to market timing? How can you possibly know when the next bear market is going to hit? What about Bitcoin? I always like to mention Bitcoin and my thoughts on that. And I like to talk about the current trends in the market because the trend is your friend. So welcome to this week's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. I got into this business in the late 90s. I am a witness to a big bear market back in 2000. That was the dot-com bubble crash. What was the main reason behind that dot-com bubble crash? Well, valuations. Absolutely valuations. There were a lot of companies that were going public back at that point in time when the internet and getting website presence all of a sudden became a big thing. And there were bubbles in the valuation, price to sales, price to earnings, price to cash flow, etc., and they were excessive. We had Greenspan calling it irrational exuberance. I think just high PE ratios would be another way to describe it. And, you know, the NASDAQ got to over 5,000 back then. I was operating my firm out of San Diego at the time, where I was lived for many years, most of my life. I now am on the other side of the country in near Charleston, South Carolina, where I run my virtual office. And we talk to folks all across America because we have our radio show in many cities across America. But that was a good experience for me, you know. We all learned a very hard lesson that valuations do matter. So as I developed the system that I use today for managing stock portfolios, valuation is definitely a big part of that. You have to be able to justify those valuations. And there's a lot of stocks out there today. I mean, we had a bubble earlier this year that popped. Mostly in the speculative, the electric vehicle startups, electric vehicle charging companies, autonomous software, all kinds of crazy things that someday may be profitable, but they're not profitable yet. And there was a bubble there, and that bubble cracked back in January and February of this year. I was also a witness to the financial crash of 2008. Okay, 2008, 2009. That took the S&P 500 down 53%. And, of course, the index investor would say, well, you know, look, it came back. Not only did it come back to where it was before the financial crisis, but it's gone on to new all-time highs. Well, that's fine, but if you were 75 years old at the time and you lost 53% of your, your retirement because of the S&P 500, that's a little bit different than a 40-year-old that lost 53% and then made it all back and then some. So, you know, obviously your age has a lot to do with the markets and timing of the markets. And then you go back, let's just go back to 2000 for a moment. That NASDAQ crash was 79%. And I witnessed a lot of retirees that literally had to go back to work after that dot-com crash. So, you know, it begs the question, when will the next bear market hit? Or is it too late to get in on this bull that's been going now for 12 years? Well, I'm going to give you my two cents during the course of this hour. Hopefully you can learn something from a guy who's been in the trenches for the last 21 years. I liken myself to a fishing guide or maybe a golf pro. I had a friend that was a very accomplished golfer in San Diego. He won several of the amateur championships. Whenever I saw him, you know, we would go to a beach party, a barbecue or whatever, volleyball game. He'd be over there with his pitching wedge. Hitting balls out of the sand. He was obsessed with golf, and he became very, very good at it. Well, my obsession is the stock market. You know, people will say, Bill, you know, he looks at stock charts all day long for the last 21 years, and he looks at those stocks that he feels are the best stocks now, the ones that have the best valuations and have the best momentum and performance and have products that are of today, not yesteryear. That's another concept that I've learned over the years. Stocks kind of have a lifespan. They start out with an idea in a garage like, Wozniak and Jobs, and then becomes the first few Apple computers coming off the line, and then they go public. And then there's venture capital, private equity buying into these companies, then they go public, then they go, if they're a good company, they go through a major expansion mode, and then they start to level off, you know, like an IBM or an AT&T, and then they really just quit growing because they've kind of saturated the market with their products. I can think of Walmart or Cisco. They're not growing at double-digit rates anymore. They're growing at low single-digit rates. So I look for best stocks now of today that are kind of in the prime of their life, as opposed to kind of the stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear. And, being in the market every day, just like the golfer who's always carrying his sand wedge with him, you know, to campouts on the beach, or the guy who's a fishing guide and who's out on the water every day, you know, they have a big advantage over me, who's kind of a weekend warrior at both golf and fishing. Those people that are in it every single day have a big advantage. They see a lot more than I do, and they practice a lot more at their craft and their art. Now, there are a lot of people in today's market that are hardcore do-it-yourselfers. They've retired. They like playing the market. It's kind of their hobby, their passion. So I also share my observations with do-it-yourselfers in addition to managing portfolios for those that want to be retired and enjoy retirement and do the things they like to do and don't want to have to worry about their portfolios. Not only am a fee-based manager, but I also write a newsletter that goes out every week. I am also invented an app called BestStocksNowApp.com that ranks about 6,000 different stocks from 1 to 6,000, and that ranking is based on valuations and performance. and I use it exclusively to manage about seven or eight portfolios for folks all across America. Well, my newsletter, which I publish every week and send out every Saturday, is for my clients only, or for those that subscribe to my do-it-yourself tools. I send out all my trades during the week on a live basis to those that want to subscribe to that and manage their own portfolios. But I'm offering 2 free weeks of my Full Monty newsletter, my client/live trading newsletter, to anybody who's interested. And when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about what's in it. But one of the most important items in it is my market outlook. When will the next bear hit? What will cause it? What we should be looking for? To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Back to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, behind the mic for 21 years and managing portfolios professionally for the last 21 years. The Dow has gone from, or the S&P has gone from 660 to 4,500 since 2009, the bottom of the financial crisis. The Dow has gone from about 6,500 to 35,000. It's gone up fivefold during that same period of time. Now, when will it end? Well, first we have to figure out what has caused the market to go up. Why? Where? What correlation is there that we can look to hopefully help us predict when this whole thing will end? I do believe in market timing. I don't believe in holding stocks during a recession in the economy, or during, even more importantly, that an earnings recession in the economy, in the S&P 500. What do I mean by that? Well, we go back to 2009. It's really pretty simple. The total earnings for the S&P 500 got clear down to $53 per share. That's just taking all of the earnings of all of the 500 companies that make up the S&P, that made up the S&P 500 at that time, dividing it by the amount of shares outstanding, and the number was $53 per share. Okay, that number had come down for a couple of years prior to 2009, and that was the kind of the warning shot across the bow that a bear was coming. Now, since that point in time, 2009, $53 per share, now we're looking at about $202 per share this year, $220 per share next year, and then the market is actually looking out now to 2023. That's a very, very important number. Okay, so where's the correlation then? Well, the correlation is, earnings for the S&P 500 have gone up almost fivefold over the last 12 years from 2009 to today, and the market has gone up almost fivefold. Do you see the correlation there? It's earnings that drive not only individual stocks higher, but markets higher. And conversely, when earnings start to level off, the market levels off. When earnings start to level off for a company, the company starts to level off. But even worse, when earnings start to recede on the S&P 500 or for individual stocks, the stock or the index follow right along. Now, even more importantly than that, yes, you could say, well, earnings are kind of looking in the past, Bill. That's pretty easy to say that this market has followed earnings up for the last 12 years. But what's going to happen over the next 2 or 3 years? Well, now we flip forward and the market looks to earnings expectations, estimates. I spent some time during the first several years of my career doing quite a few research reports, analyst research reports on individual companies. And part of that work involved coming up with earnings expectations going forward, looking out into the future, and coming up with a pro forma or pro forma income statements that would back up our work. And when earnings expectations change, well, guess what? If a company raises earnings expectations, the stock moves up almost immediately. And conversely, if they lower expectations, it goes down immediately. The market, the S&P 500, is now looking out to 2022, 2023, and it's trading on those expectations. Now, where can you find those expectations? Well, you know, the most important page of my newsletter every single week. Yes, it is a multi-page newsletter. I put a lot of work into it. It's my own internal research as a professional money manager that I share with you. But if you don't look at any other page, look at the macro outlook of my newsletter, and you will see a graph, a bar graph, of earnings over the last many years and the expectations going out into the future. And I update that every single week. Now, Bill, there must be another part of that equation. Yes, there is. Okay, earnings is the first part of the equation, and earnings expectations. But we have to multiply it by something to come up with an S&P 500 target price. The same works in individual stocks. You hear every day so certain stocks being upgraded and the target price being revised higher. Well, we call that a multiplier. A multiple, what we think the future P.E. ratio will be of the company. And that future P.E. ratio depends a lot on the industry that the company is in, the rate of growth, the position that that company is. Is it a dominant company? They command a higher multiple than a company that is a laggard in their sector. A 2% grower is not going to command as big of a multiple as a 25% grower. That's how it works. So, you know, in my 21 years, I've kind of learned how those multiples work and what kind of multiples to apply. Now, I will say that right now, our stock market is trading at a very high multiple. You say, well, Bill, why is that? Doesn't that make it very dangerous? Well, yes and no. It's trading at a very high multiple because the Fed has been extraordinarily friendly to the market for several years now, artificially keeping interest rates low. And you've heard the expression, don't fight the Fed. Well, those who have not fought the Fed have profited wildly. While this market, not only have earnings increased over the last 12 years, but we've seen multiple expansion, okay? So we have had a raging bull to take advantage of for the last 12 years. But like all good things, it will eventually come to an end. Bull markets do not go forever. And yes, I do believe in some market timing. I don't believe in holding the bond funds in a rising interest rate environment, and nor do I believe in owning a lot of stocks, or any stocks for that matter, in a falling earnings environment. That's why it's so important to stay on top of those earnings estimates and expectations at all times. I update my numbers weekly, and that drives my decision of my market timing decision. Now, I have been a bull in the market for the most part for the last 12 years because of the earnings expanding every single year except for the COVID year. I got cautious a few times along the way. We had some contentious elections. We had some world events that caused some nervousness in the market. But at some point in the future, this 12-year-old bull is going to end. That's why that macro outlook in my newsletter is so important to check every week. you can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. When we come back, I want to talk about some sectors and stocks in the market and some of the current trends that are working. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we saw new highs in the market here recently. S&P 500 above 4,500, NASDAQ above 15,000. The Dow's leveled off a little bit at about 35,000 feet, an altitude of 35,000 feet or so, but consider that it was at 6,500 back in 2009. And that market has been going up. Those markets have been going up because earnings underneath them have been going up. And that has supported this rise in the market. And when people ask me, Bill, when will this all be over? When will this end? When will it be time to harvest our crop and put it undercover for a future use? Well, it's going to end when those earnings expectations and economic expectations for the U.S. economy begin to ratchet downwards. And that's something I watch very, very closely on a weekly basis. I begin my whole money management process as a professional money manager with my macro outlook. That's where it all begins. That's what guides me. And I publish that every week. You know, several tributaries flow into that macro outlook, not only for the U.S. economy, but for the earnings of the S&P 500 companies. And that's published in my newsletter every week, which I'm offering out 2 free weeks today at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Now, with the market hitting new highs, new all-time highs, you'd also say, is it too late to get in? Well, I've been hearing that since 2009. Bill, is it too late to get in? 2011. Bill, is it too late to get in? 2013. Well, you know, it depends. Markets continue to go up. Earnings continue to go up. So, no, it's not too late to get in. But at the same time, it's a matter of what you get into, all right? That's very, very important. There's a lot of areas of the market right now that are dead as a doornail. And, the high PE area of the market, not a real favorable place to be. The speculative area of the market, not a very favorable place to be. I would say that this is currently a market that favors big cap, mega cap, and high-quality, dependable earnings. And, yes, that does include a lot of the FANG stocks and big tech stocks of the world. They continue to drive the markets higher. Now, the other question I get, and I have a very strong opinion on this, is what about passive investing versus active investing? Well, our industry, my industry, the industry that I've been a part of for the last 2 decades plus, has made a major move towards passive investing. And just from my perspective, I think they did it because they didn't want, you know, if I worked for a big firm, they're not going to allow me to pick stocks and put together portfolios like I do here at my firm. I'm an active manager. They would rather have a formula, a model based on your age, made up of ETFs that is tweaked just a little bit. So almost anybody can do it, and then their people can spend more time selling. That's kind of the bottom line. They've kind of McDonald-ized, I suppose. You get a same mediocre hamburger all over the world. It'll taste the same. And everybody makes it the same, and that's kind of the way my industry has gone. I am not a believer in passive investing. I don't think your asset allocation should be based on age only, okay? If you're 50 years old, so says the asset allocation model, you should be 50% in stocks and 50% in bonds. Well, I don't want to have any stocks if we're in a declining economy and declining earnings picture for the S&P 500, I want to avoid stocks during that period of time. I don't care if I'm 48. I don't care if I'm 78. And likewise with the bond market, if I'm 79 years old, I don't want to have 79% of my money assets in the bond market if we're in a wildly rising interest rate environment, which we haven't seen for quite some time, but we probably will again at some point in the future. So, yes, I am a believer in being somewhat of an active investor as opposed to a passive investor. And in addition to that, you know, the ETFs have kind of also come along because, you know, it's pretty hard to learn the art of picking the best stocks in a sector. So what does an ETF do? It buys the whole sector. And just like anything else, there's a lot of mediocrity in the sector, and there's usually a few stocks that stand out in any sector. Look at the semiconductor sector, for instance. Intel is a dud, yet it's a big part of any semiconductor ETF. On the other hand, AMD has run circles around Intel for the last decade or so, and AMD is a leading stock in the semiconductor sector, along with others. NVIDIA is a leading stock within the semiconductor sector, and there's a whole bunch of laggards. And when you buy an ETF, you get them all. You get the good, the bad, and the ugly. I would rather focus on the good. In fact, I call my portfolios, or I call my newsletter, or I call my show, I call the app that I invented Best Stocks Now. I try to ferret out those very best dominant quality companies that still make sense from a valuation point of view, but also the dominant growth companies in the sector. And I put together my portfolios using that methodology. Now, the next thing you need to realize is everybody has a different risk kind of variable depending on your age, your risk tolerance, how much money you have in the market, what it represents of your total net worth, etc. That's why we do a plan first to try to figure out, you know, how to mix and match the portfolios that we manage. Our safest portfolio would be all cash, okay? You can get that at the bank. You're going to lose out to the inflation termites doing that. Then we go up, we have a individual bond portfolio that I manage that selects individual bonds based on Best Stocks Now. For instance, Netflix is a dominant company. It's a Best Stock Now. It's a game changer. It totally remade the video industry, and now it's remaking the movie industry. Well, they also had a bond that they offered several years ago that paid a good yield. We like to buy those bonds of Best Stocks Now and hold them to maturity, and that takes away our interest rate risk. If we hold them to maturity, we're going to get our principal back, and we may get some capital appreciation along the way, which we have done with the Netflix bonds. We normally own about 10 or 12 bonds in our bond portfolio. Now, that's mostly for income. That's mostly for the safety part, the steady part of your portfolio. Most people still need some growth, okay? The next step up are big, high-quality, dividend-paying companies. Now, I'm different. I don't like companies that pay big dividends. For instance, AT&T pays a 5% dividend. But the stock is not growing anymore. The earnings are not growing anymore at AT&T. I would rather have a company paying a 1, 2, 3% dividend that's also growing. I'll just give you one example. We own SQM in our dividend portfolio. They're one of the biggest miners of lithium in the world, and I think it pays about a 3% dividend, I want to say. Their earnings are still growing, and they pay a dividend. Some of these big oil companies like Exxon pay a much bigger dividend yield, but their earnings aren't growing anymore. So we normally own about 20 or 25 stocks in our dividend and growth portfolio. We're not only are we looking for dividend yield, but we're also looking for capital appreciation on top of that. Okay, then other people need pure growth. Well, we have our premier growth portfolio where I try to find the 2025 best big growth stocks of today, not of yesteryear, of today. AMD would be a good example. NVIDIA would be a good example. These are dominant growth companies with, you know, with $100 billion in market cap or more. Then we have younger clients and older clients that want to be a little more aggressive, and I run an ultra growth portfolio. Now, these portfolios are published in my newsletter every single week, and I liken my job to a baseball general manager who strives to put the best players on the field, keep those best players on the field at all points in time. I call them best stocks now, what I consider to be best stocks now. Going even further than that, I want an all-star team in my dividend and growth, my premier growth, my bond portfolio, etc. You can see what's in our portfolios now. Get a free copy of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back for the final segment of the show.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years behind the wheel of not only managing stock portfolios. I used to write up research reports in the first several years of my career in this industry, and I've done a radio show for the last 21 years, and the rest of the day I'm watching the markets, usually about 10 hours a day, Monday through Friday, so I have a pretty good feel for what's working and what's not working in the market. Now, I want to do this last quarter of the show. Well, first I just want to kind of review a little bit. We've talked a lot about the macro picture. You know, when will this bull market end? How can I get out of the way? I do believe in market timing. You know, the key is watching the forward indicators, the leading index of indicators for the U.S. economy. But even more important than that, the earnings expectations for the companies that make up the S&P 500, especially the aggregate earnings. And I publish those every single week in my newsletter, and I'm offering 2 free weeks. This goes out to my clients and my subscribers only. But I offer 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Now, before I get into some of the areas of the market that are still very vibrant, there are some worries. You know, there's not a day that goes by that someone doesn't send me something that says, this is why the market's going to crash tomorrow or next week or next month. Well, they've been wrong for the last 12 years. Okay. Everybody who said along the way in the last 12 years that the biggest bear that's ever going to hit is going to hit. Well, there is a big bear out there. Absolutely, at some point in the future. That's why we have to be vigilant. That's why I believe in active investing and not passive investing. And that's why I do believe in market timing, which, you know, you hear it all the time. You can't time the markets. Well, I agree on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. But the big cycles, there's warning signs of when the economy is going to start slowing down, and that's going to hit, take a bite out of earnings. And if you're trading on a multiple of earnings and earnings start to go down, obviously the market's going to go down with the downslide in the earnings. So the major risk right now in the market from where I sit, the Delta variant is still out there. That thing has not gone away yet. Labor shortages are another, and supply chain shortages, not having inventory. You drive by a new car lot these days, they don't have a lot of cars on their lot. And I hear the same thing in the retail sector, Macy's or whatever. They're having a hard time stocking the shelves. That's a worry. The market is at a very high multiple right now. I agree with that. But having said that, you don't want to fight the Fed. Those that have fought the Fed have not done well. over time. And those interest rates remain very, very low right now, historically low. In fact, 4,000-year lows. We can find cuneiforms with interest rates from 4,000 years ago. They were a lot higher than they are today. Inflation is another risk to the market. I don't believe inflation is as transitory as we're being told. Just go price a New York steak, you know, this week at the supermarket. You'll see what I mean. Stagnant growth. Eventually, growth is going to start slowing here in the U.S. economy. In fact, there's some talk of stagflation. That's slowing growth along with inflation. That's the worst of all worlds. And I would say one more risk to the market has kind of come up here recently. Our relations with China really, really strained right now. And China has taken a hard, hard turn. Just kind of all of a sudden, they've gone after their own capitalism companies, Alibaba and Tencent Holdings, etc. They've taken a hard turn towards socialism, and they've become very, very aggressive. You know, we're helping Australia get some nuclear submarines to defend themselves against the ambitions of China. Taiwan kind of in the crosshairs of China right now, and our relations with them are strained, and there's a lot of supply chain still in China, and there's a lot of companies, U.S. companies, that do business in China, Apple and Starbucks and Yum Brands and on and on and on, Tesla. That's also a risk to the market, but I cut through all of that. And I follow those earnings. That's what I do. And I follow earnings expectations. And that helps me take a lot of the emotion out of the market. Now, what's working in the market today? U.S. stocks, okay? The Chinese stocks are getting clobbered. China makes up a big part of the emerging markets. If you own emerging market mutual funds or ETFs, you have a lot of exposure to China more than likely. I don't have any exposure to China or emerging markets right now. U.S. and it's also a market that favors large stocks, mega cap stocks. We're talking the Microsofts, the Apples, the Googles, the Amazons of the world. That's just the way it is. That's what the market favors right now. And it is avoiding like the plague electric vehicle startups and a lot of the stocks that worked last year that were out there more on the speculative end of the spectrum. So that's what's working now. But it will change at some point in the future. There is another bear market lurking out there. Well, you know, I believe in that. I'm on the lookout all the time. I'm looking in my rearview mirror, but in the meantime, I'm making money while the sun shines. I'm making hay while the sun shines. But at some point, you know, I'll gather in my hay, set it up, bale it, let it sit on the sidelines for a while when the next big bear and economic recession begin to creep into our economy. Well, that newsletter is invaluable. I write it every single week. It's my own internal research. It has all my portfolios in it, what I currently own, my macro outlook for the market. You can see the performance of those portfolios there, how they've done. I meticulously keep track of that. They're not model portfolios. They're the actual, well, they are models that I use to manage money here at my firm. We have people come to us from all over, from all walks of life, say, Bill, I want to interview you guys. I want to see what you do. I like what I hear. I want to check you guys out. Well, you can set up an appointment with us. We run a virtual office, and I have several people on staff here, including a certified financial planner. He's a real good guy to kind of assess your risk, analyze your risk profile, and kind of talk about the portfolios we manage and how they might fit for you and what kind of, you know, asset allocation he would construct. But a good place to start, like I say, check out our newsletter, the macro outlook, and the portfolios, what's in them at the current time and how they've done. Go to GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great weekend. Have a great week, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.